This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
The 2019 Africa Cup of Nations, the continent's most important football tournament, will tonight kick off with a match between hosts Egypt and Zimbabwe. It will be the fifth time that the North African host of the tournament, which starts from the today up until the 19th of July. Six stadiums will be used, and there has been a major expansion. The competition has expanded from 16 participating teams to 24. So we are looking at some of the big stars of world football gracing the tournament. Mohamed Salah, key player definitely for Egypt, and Sadio Mane of Senegal, also teammate of Salah. It would be interesting if Egypt meets Senegal somewhere along the line. How's that going to be? Riyad Mahrez of Manchester City are among some of the star players of Egypt 2019. But we're not even mentioning a single South African player. You know, have we really dropped that standard that not even a single South African player? But I think should Bafana Bafana do well, a player like Percy Tau would definitely be one of the players that his name will be spoken about after the tournament. But it also depends on how Bafana plays, because if we're knocked out in the first round, 16 minutes past 6, your calls are more than welcome as we take this opportunity to welcome on the line African football analyst Kojo Amankwa. Malome.
Hola, Baba.
It's good to speak to you, and thank you very much for taking this time. It's been a while, so I hope you're doing good.
Survival of the fittest, my brother.
Yes, indeed. Kojo, let me start, and before we start, maybe looking at the groups, and who would you say going into this tournament, as we go into the first match today, are the favorites team? If you had to take a guess as to who will be playing in the finals, which two teams would you pick?
Let me pick four teams that I think are going to do very well in this final. There's no doubt Senegal have a very potent squad in view of the exploits of Sadio Mane in helping Liverpool to take the champion, UEFA Champions League, and as well as pushing Manchester City all the way to 98 points, and they were beaten by a single point by the same Real Madrid inspired Manchester City. There's no doubt Senegal is going to do well in this tournament, and they're one of the pre-tournament favorites. Egypt with Mohamed Salah, although when you look at it holistically, Egypt don't have a very solid team going into this tournament. But the question is, can Mohamed Salah be the Diego Maradona, or of course, who will I say, the Dr. Kumalo of the team that can take the whole nation on his shoulders and inspire his team to attack it? It remains to be seen. He's one of the big stars going into this tournament, and Egypt are host. Every time they host, they win. They hosted in 1950, they won. They hosted in 2006, and they won. So Egypt have a record of hosting at home and taking the title, and you cannot discount that. Again, Cameroon are the defending champions. And they come into this tournament, although not a big mega name stars, but what they lack in mega name stars, they complement with big work ethics. And you are going to say, no, Malume, which socks are you smoking? I think Ghana have been very silent in this tournament, and not many people are talking about them. The fact that Andre Dede Ayew is the captain holds a lot of good hope for Ghana. And I'll tell you what, he remains one of the few African youth players that have helped Ghana to win the under-20 world title. No African country have won the under-20 world title except Ghana, and that those who are going into this tournament. I heard a clip of the Egyptians welcoming him, and what gave me a lot of hope was the delegation head asking the day, you, how is your father? How is your father? Your father is good. We like your father too much. And that sort of gave me the inspiration. I think the day, you will sort of a lead by example by inspiring the Ghanaian national team to do well. So my four teams, Ghana, Cameroon, of course, Senegal, and Egypt, are going to be the team to watch in this tournament.
Malume, I'm disappointed you didn't mention South Africa.
You see, South Africa is in a very tough group, a group that have Namibia. Familiarity brings contempt. A lot of people are going to think Namibia are a team that is touch and go. They are going to give a lot of problems. And they are in a group of Morocco and, of course, Ivory Coast. Morocco have been preparing a team quietly. They've been bidding for the World Cup. And they did well. And I tell you, they are not going to be an easy meet. Even though Morocco and South Africa have a very good sort of par-to-par against them. But in a real tournament, I think if South Africans are able to get onto their group, then I will see them going far. I think it's going to be a very difficult challenge in view of the fact that the star marquee player for me in the South African team is Percy Tau. And maybe the Moroccans and the Ivory Coast have got a plan for him to keep him silent. And if Percy Tau does not perform, I don't see South Africa going into the knockout stage.
Let's take a few steps back, Malome. You spoke about Egypt, and let's take a look at Group A, where you've got Egypt, the DRC, Uganda, and Zimbabwe. Looking ahead to the match today, I mean, you look at Egypt, you spoke about Mo Salah, but then does Mo Salah have the kind of quality that surrounds him at Liverpool in the Egyptian team? And the reason I'm saying that, you look at the Zimbabwe team, they play as a unit, and on their day they've got very star quality players that are part of that particular team, and definitely not a team to be discounted. Are we being fair on Salah, expecting him to be the Maradona, the Dr. Kumalo, to carry the Egyptian side single-handedly?
In 1986, a young Argentinian team led by Diego Maradona carried the team on his shoulders.
Mm.
You see, there comes a time in the history of a footballing country where a player emerges and do everything. We all know in the World Cup last year, because Mo Salah was injured, Egypt did not do well. And yet, going into the tournament, a lot of people have their mind placed on Mo Salah. Mo Salah have played and scored 22 goals. In fact, it's Mo Salah, Sadio Mane, and of course
Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang
that
yes.
scored the 22 goals. The top goal scorers in the English Premiership were all Africans, and they were in form. Two of them are in the tournament, and I think if Mo Salah brings his A game, that you've seen him play in Liverpool week in and week out, he is going to be a marquee player. Yes, the Zimbabweans are a unit and they are very compact. You've got a Kamabiliat and a silent assassin, knowledge Mosona, in tandem in attack, and they are dangerous. But let me tell you, the Egyptians have a big heart. The Egyptians use football as a catalyst to bring their nation together and to bring a sense of joy and a sense of unity in the country. And having the poured in the amount of money, and by the way, Kwena, let me give you a little history. It's the fourth time that the AFCON have been taken from a country to be hosted by another country, and Egypt is the fourth time. South Africa started it in 1996 when they took it away from Kenya, citing economic constraints. And I think if the Egyptian coach have their tactics right and they play to the strength of Mo Salah, then the defense of Zimbabwe are going to find it a handful to sort of handle him, because on his day, he can be magical and he can be the next Diego Maradona to inspire, in my view, Egypt to the next round. It's going to be a very, very interesting group. The DRC is there, and you've got Zimbabwe. It's their second state AFCON qualification. And guess what? They got independence in 80, but they got into the AFCON very late. This is their only second AFCON, and it's going to be a challenge. As whether Kamabiliat, who have not had a very great season in Kaiser Chiefs the past season, is going to rise to the occasion together with Nobe Mosona and inspire Zimbabwe to play one over Egypt. It remains to be seen. But I think Mo Salah is inspired. He's going to do what, in my view, Abu Tsika did. Abu Tsika went to Ghana and in the semifinals scored a goal and bangled Ghana out. And Ghana have hosted the event in 1963 and 1978, same like Egypt, and won it at home. But on the third time, where it matters the most, Mohamed Abu Tsika sort of bangled Ghana out. And I think Mo Salah is inspired, and he's in top form to very top condition in terms of physical conditioning to give the best of his game tonight. When we all see the game, it's going to be an absolute battle, in my view, against Zimbabwe.
0872 889 697. That is the number to call. Send WhatsApp on 0826 542 446. We are in conversation with Kojo Amankwa, African football analyst, talking to us about the African Cup of Nations as we are looking ahead to the tournament. Who are your favourites? Kojo has picked his favourites. I'm surprised, Malomi, that also amongst those you did not pick Nigeria.
I'll tell you, I've seen the best of Nigerian. I'm a Ghanaian. I've seen the golden generation of the Nigerian team from almost 1996 to the mid-2000s. The current crop of Nigerians are good, but in my view, none of them have polished even the boot of Sunday Oluse, the likes of Rashidi Yekini, the likes of Finidi George, the likes of great players like Daniel Amokati the Pool. The Nigerians have them. They've got a big heart and they always want to win. But I can tell you, they don't have the quality. When you look at the fact that Michael Obi is playing in Chinese League, that tells you that he's at the twilight of his career. And they don't have the bite that I'm looking for. Obviously, I did not call them for a reason. This is the African Cup of Nations. The first of its kind to be expanded to 24. It will cause for special physical conditioning. And if you are playing in a league like in China, you don't have the necessary mental attitude and the physical conditioning to compete and be highly competitive in such an event. And in the 24 African nations, which is not a 16, is going to be very, very difficult. I don't see Nigeria going far. Because as a Ghanaian who have lived in Ghana and I know Nigeria, and I've followed both Ghana and Nigeria in terms of competition and everything, the golden generation of players are not there. The current crop of players are not the golden generation of players for the West African nation or African overpopulated country. I don't see them going far. If they make it to the knockout stages, the far they can go, in my view, will be the quarterfinals.
We know that the North Africans are always favorites. You spoke about Egypt. They are the hosts. Where would you place Tunisia in this regard?
Tunisia, Morocco, Algeria are all teams that can go far. But again, in that region, North Africa only has 5 countries. The rivalry between them, you can cut it to the knife. As I speak to you now, the Champions League, the CAF Champions League event is inconclusive because Wydad Casablanca and of Morocco and of course none other than Esperance of Tunisia.
Of Tunisia,
don't see eye to eye. And it's very inconclusive. And sometimes their rivalry and not their unity can be their undoing. They want to outdo each other in their own backyard and that can play into the hands of the teams that are coming into the tournament. And that is the reason why I only pick Egypt, and I have not spoken a lot about the other North African countries.
Let's as we wind down the conversation then, who would you say, I mean, you've picked your four favourites. Are there any dark horses? Are there teams that you silently think they might spring a surprise? I mean, you look at an Ivory Coast, you can't discount them in this regard, but are there... And we know what, the Southern African teams on their day, they can do big things. I mean, we know what happens with what happened with Zambia in the past when they went to win it, went all the way and won it. But are there any dark horses in your opinion, Kojo?
Definitely, there are a lot of dark horses in this tournament. And in the speaking in that vein, I'll put South Africa there. South Africa is a dark horse that a lot of people would not consider. Obviously, you've mentioned Ivory Coast. There is also a prophetess in Benin that has prophesied that Benin is going to win the African Cup of Nations in Egypt. And for that reason, I'll place Benin also as a dark horse. But in a more serious note, you know, sometimes the dark horse pack doesn't wait. This is a very serious event. And of all the African nations that are going there, guess what, Kwena? Ghana remains one of the teams where the government has placed the national resources, taxpayers' money, almost close to between $8 million to $15 million US for the teams to use for preparation and part of bonuses. And therefore, they are very inspired. I'm very happy that going into this tournament, not a lot has been said about Ghana. They went silently to Dubai to train. And they even play a friendly game with South Africa, and they played a goalless draw, and a lot is not said about them. They also played Namibia in a friendly game, Namibia actually beat Ghana 1-0. And when I inquired, they told me, no, those are to test strategy because some of the key players did not start. Coach Kasiapia was testing the three players in an attempt to see what they can offer him. But he's got his first 11 under the tutelage at the captainship of the day IU. And I tell you, it's going to be a very, very interesting. But when all is said and done, sometimes it's not the preparation. Sometimes it's not the money. Sometimes it's the technical team and the quality of the players and the willingness to win and inscribe your name into the history books of that country that will make the high difference.
Mm. Let's end then looking at Southern Africa, Malome. You touched on South Africa being the dark horses. I mean, if you look at countries like Namibia, Zimbabwe, we touched on them, but Angola, should we expect anything, or are they one of those teams that sadly just are there to make up the numbers?
Angola are besieged with money problems. And there is mutiny in the camp. I don't think they will make an impact in this very African Cup of Nations. Zimbabwe also are besieged with many problems to the point where they didn't train yesterday ahead of a very crucial opening match. They were trying to boycott the match to the point where the chairman of the AFCON committee, Mr. Abuju Tenet, the NFF, Nigerian Football Federation president, who is the chairman of the AFCON tournament proper, went to their camp and went back to the Confederation of African Football and said that they should release money to Nigeria for them to sort of, they should release money to Zimbabwe for them to get their bonuses. Because that was claiming that even in the qualifier, their winning bonuses have not been paid. And until the money is paid, they were not going to play. In an attempt to avoid embarrassment in view of everything that have happened ahead of this very African Cup of Nations, to the point of the CAF president himself being arrested and questioned in Paris. It was therefore important for the ESCO and the CAF leadership to come up with a solution. Zimbabwe were able to come with almost $20,000, and the CAF came with $20,000. And I'm happy to say that this morning the players agreed that the money has been reflected in their accounts, and therefore they are going to play the game tonight. It was going to be a huge embarrassment for them not to show up. And therefore, Amuju Pinnick, in his wisdom, got involved, got to their camp, came back to CAF, and convinced CAF to take the money and give it to the ZIFA authorities to try and ensure that the players get paid. And for me, that is very, very interesting. South Africa have been very quiet, going about their preparations. We haven't heard a lot of problems and stories. And I think when you talk of mental attitude, and in terms of seriousness and wanting to make an impact, I think in the public region, South Africa is going to make an impact depending on how, which person town turn up for the game.
Okay. Malome, allow me to take one or two callers before we let you go. Sello.
Hey, Marara.
How's it, Sello?
Hey, sharp, worry, Papa.
Sharp, wish.
Let me talk about this group of ours. And I'm not undermining the Morocco and Namibia, but the only thing that will make us to qualify is only if regarding Ivory Coast is defeated. But as for Morocco and the other one, Namibia, I don't think they can defeat us.
So if we get a good result against Ivory Coast on Monday, you think then we're home and dry?
Yeah, we are going to proceed. As long as must not undermine the Morocco and Namibia, because if we undermine them, they might surprise us. But if we go there with a strong team, losing from the Ghana, Cote d'Ivoire, I think we might proceed. Comparing Ivory Coast to the other two, Ivory Coast, they're a strong one than these two.
That Morocco and Namibia. No, for sure. Yeah. Thank you very much, Sello. That's calling us from Sanin there. Malome, my last question for you. The introduction of VAR in the African Cup of Nations. We have seen the drama that led to the pending replay of the Champions League final. How much of a role do you think VAR will play in AFCON? Should we expect positives, negatives?
It's going to play a very, very important role and it's going to eliminate a number of doubts. I would like to see VAR operating more in a goal line technology and in an off-the-ball incident. I would like the VAR to be called upon, for instance, to stop the game and check and something. You see, football is very dynamic and very evolving. And the VAR for me is it was hard done against the Nigerian Super Falcons in the ongoing FIFA Women's World Cup in Paris. And I've always said, the physical prowess and the physical aspect of the African game is being eliminated in a clever way. And the VAR have been brought just to do that. And for me, it is a very unfair. It's going to start in the quarterfinal. It's not going to start right from the round of robin games in the quarterfinals up to the finals. And it's the very same VAR that has given us the problem we have faced, where we don't have the current African Champions League between Wydad Casablanca and, of course, Esperance of Tunisia. And I don't like VAR, to be very honest with you. But who am I?
You and me both, Balloon. You and me both.
Majority have said it should be used. And I respect the decision of majority in terms of democratic principles.
Kojo Amankwa, African football analyst, thank you very much for taking this time to speak to us and sharing your insight with us. Appreciate it.
For more podcasts, go to capricornfm.co.za and follow us on social media @CapricornFM.